Marx understands Hegel well enough to see that Hegel's view is rooted in his speculative system of philosophy. Hegel believes the state is a fuller embodiment of infinite spirit than the family or civil society. It's a higher authority. But Marx says Hegel's reversed himself. Hegel had described family and civil society as active forms on which the state is founded. Now he seems to emphasize how the family and society depend on a state to ensure their survival. So Marx says that family and civil society lose their actuality in Hegel's philosophy. They're seen as mere phases in the development of absolute spirit. Absolute spirit uses the state as a vehicle for its realization. In short, Marx concludes that family and civil society are incidental factors in Hegel's philosophy.
They are mere phenomena, expressing no more than accidental circumstance, caprice, and personal choice, while true rationality and freedom reside in the state alone.
Marx returns to this matter over and over. In one striking passage, he angrily attacks Hegel for suggesting that the people have sovereignty only through the state. Here's what Hegel has said.
We can also speak of internal sovereignty residing in people, providing we are only speaking of the whole. For that sovereignty belongs to the state.
Marx replied bluntly,
as if the people did not constitute the actual state. The state is an abstraction. Only the people is a concrete fact. And it is peculiar that Hegel attributes a living quality, such as sovereignty, to a concrete fact only with reservations, although he attributes it to an abstraction without any reservations.
Here we have the answer in Marx's view to the question we heard him pose earlier. When we see things from the vantage point of the state, what happens to the freedom of the family and civil society? Hegel had said, freedom exists for both family and society, but Marx says they become accidental and subordinate to the state in Hegel's system of philosophy. Marx objects to Hegel's speculative thinking in the same way Kierkegaard had done. Both believe that human relations lose their real force and character in Hegel's idealistic philosophy. Hegel translates human relations into phases of the rational development of absolute spirit. Marx complains that Hegel thinks in speculative terms, not social and historical terms. Kierkegaard similarly charges that Hegel's abstract thought has no relation to an individual thinker. Hegel's sympathetic interpreters point out that he emphasizes the state's beneficial effect in dealing with the problems of civil society. Professor Shlomo Avineri of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem has thrown new light on this subject. He points out that Hegel wrote a manuscript entitled Real Philosophy when he was at Jena. It wasn't published till the 1930s, so Marx didn't know about it. Hegel's Real Philosophy exhaustively analyzes the social, economic, and political situation in all of Western Europe during the late 18th and the early 19th centuries. Here Hegel offers just the sort of analytical and historical thinking about society, which Marx thought was absent from his writings. Avineri describes this work of Hegel's.
It shows that while Hegel's main concern was always the attempt to achieve a comprehensive system of general philosophical speculation, his preoccupation with problems of a social and political nature consistently remained as the focus of his theoretical interest.
For Hegel, the many activities and associations of civil society, business, labor, industry, the market system itself, are enmeshed in problems that can be overcome only by state intervention. Hegel cites three evils that arise from the market economy: poverty, class antagonisms based on social and economic inequalities, and the alienation of the disinherited. We can better understand Hegel's basic point about the role of the state if we look at his analysis of poverty. Hegel wants to know how poverty comes about and what form of consciousness develops among the impoverished. To explain poverty, Hegel points out that most animals seek to satisfy only their natural needs, but man endlessly pursues and acquires material goods. We imagine that our desires stem only from ourselves, But in civil society, producers consciously and deliberately create new demands that go beyond already felt needs.
The need for greater comfort does not exactly arise in you directly. It is suggested to you by those who hope to make a profit from its creation.
Hegel believes that the drive toward social equality creates pressure for more consumption, and this leads to expanding production. Here Hegel describes what we might call keeping up with the Joneses.
The social element in needs directly involves the demand for equality of satisfaction with others. The need for this equality and emulation, which is the equalizing of oneself with others, as well as the other need present here, the need of the individual to assert itself in some distinctive way, become themselves a fruitful source of the multiplication of needs and their expression.
Hegel is saying that to pursue unlimited desires is to bring about their opposite, poverty. This is an example of dialectic at work. Hegel says that society creates new desires without end, but he adds that want and destitution are measureless too.
In these contrasts and their complexity, civil society affords a spectacle of extravagance and want, as well as the physical and ethical degeneration common to them both.
According to Hegel, poverty is not accidental, but a consequence of our economic system. He claims that poverty increases when wealth grows. The poor are unable to acquire any property beyond what they can earn through wage labor.
When social conditions